This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And just like that, it's 11 o'clock or 10 past 11 on a Wednesday. And it's time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And I feel this topic, you know, it's one of my passions, but it's also a topic that is very popular, and something often parents struggle with is lack of sleep. And specifically today, we are going to be talking about sleep regressions. I have to say, when my children were small, I think my son actually had a permanent sleep regression, or that's how it felt. He never slept well. For 2 years of his life, he slept horribly. This is before good night, so I didn't know any better and I didn't know how to do it. Emmy, on the other hand, came along and she actually slept really well. And I thought, finally, my luck has changed. I didn't believe it was any of my own doing. I solidly believed it was the luck of the draw and that you either sleep well or you don't. Again, before I knew better. And I just thought it was either you're lucky or you're not. And this time I thought, okay, I'm lucky. I have a sleeper. It's not all sorted. And then all of a sudden, yeah, just before she turned 4 months, things changed from her basically sleeping through the night to her waking up every 45 to 60 minutes at night. It was horrendous. Now I know that it was the very horrible, dreaded 4 month sleep regression that hit. But this is a reality for lots of parents. And this is one of the sleep regressions, of course, that we are going to be talking about. But sleep is a very sensitive subject. And I feel like in lots of ways, it's also one of those things that parents don't like to talk about because it's a badge of honor in some ways. I remember very specifically a friend of mine telling me, now my baby's sleeping through. And I'm like, how do you manage that? It's like, she just wakes up twice a night for a feed. And I'm like, huh? That's not sleeping through to me. I'm very sorry. I want to put my child down at 7 o'clock and then they wake up at 6 and I don't have to go in at all. That for me is sleeping through. So just to have context on the conversation, I'm not sugarcoating sleeping through. I'm not anything. When I talk about it, it's that. Maybe sleeping through for you is just waking up twice to give a feed. But when I talk about sleeping through, that is not the same context. But as always, I would love for you to be part of this conversation. If you have any questions, shares, maybe you've experienced a sleep regression, maybe you're in the middle of a sleep regression, share with us and send me a telegram on 061-895-1019. Or you can SMS us at 34519. SMSs are charged at 150 per SMS. I would love to hear if you have any questions on sleep regressions, but I am not the only sleep expert here, luckily, today. So you don't have to, for 40 minutes, only listen to me. As always, I bring in the big guns. And today I am joined by qualified occupational therapist, but practicing good night sleep consultant and wife and mom, Yunal Basson. Thank you so much, Yunal, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Yolandi.
I'm very excited to talk to you about this. I don't think 40 minutes is going to be nearly enough. If me and Yunal start talking sleep, it becomes conversations on end. And I think this specific topic has no end in. So we are going to run out of time. I'm kind of pretty sure about it. But let's start with the biggest question of what is a sleep regression?
Okay, Yolandi. So a sleep regression is basically when you have a baby or a toddler who used to sleep well, or they used to sleep okay, and then suddenly they start having trouble sleeping. So whether it is falling asleep or staying asleep, it can be that they suddenly start struggling with naps or with nighttime sleep. So it's basically the sleep that regresses. That is what a sleep regression is.
And like I said to you, I definitely experienced a sleep regression with Oscar even more so. I feel like he was in a permanent sleep regression, but that's a whole different conversation that we need to talk about. But why do sleep regressions happen?
So sleep regressions usually happen during times of development. So whether it is physical development, like a baby who reaches a new milestone, something like they learn how to crawl, or they learn how to push from lying down to sitting up, or walking. Any big milestone can cause a sleep regression. It's basically the brain that is more stimulated by this new skill. And it's especially with the physical ones, the physical milestones, it's almost like the baby tries to practice these new skills in the cot during sleep. So it can cause a bit of a bump in the road, but it can also be due to cognitive development, something like a baby learning how to talk or learning a new cognitive skill, even emotional reasons, emotional development, like especially around 18 months where they become exceptionally independent, or separation anxiety is also a big one, an emotional change for babies. But then a sleep regression can also happen due to circumstances like illness or traveling, moving house, a new sibling, or even starting a school.
Yeah. And I mean, that's exactly it for me. I always say to people, the biggest cause of a regression is change. And that can be the obvious changes that you mentioned, like traveling, going something, things that you know is going to happen that's going to cause a disruption in your child's sleep temporarily, hopefully. but the biggest variable is obviously always changing, because we're not helping your robots or raising robots. We are raising children. And they are constantly changing, and especially in that first 2 years. And I mean, you now was mentioning some of the things, the physical changes, the emotional changes, all those things that happen within your baby, because the reality is that there is no time that your child will be changing more and learning new things like in those first 2 years of their lives. There is an incredible amount of brain development and brain connections that happen during that time. And of course, that can have an impact on many things, their development, of course. And then, of course, their sleep as well, unfortunately. I remember Emmy, she went through a period, and she, like I said, she always slept really well. Then she had the 4 months of sleep regression. Luckily, good night came on my path and she slept better. And then all of a sudden she started rolling onto her stomach, and it was hilarious because she made this funny sound and you just had to go in, roll her back, and then she slept better.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and I am your host, Yolandi Becker, for Bump and Beyond, the program all about parenting. And today, a nice topic to talk about, because it's something lots of parents struggle with, and that is sleep, and specifically sleep regressions. Those periods of time where all of a sudden your child just doesn't sleep as well as they used to. And I have the big guns and the sleep expert here, good night sleep consultant Yunal Basson, talking about sleep regressions. As I mentioned earlier, I would love for you to be part of this conversation. So if you have any questions, comments, or anything that you want to share, you can send us a telegram on 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. Or you can SMS us at 34519. SMSs are charged at R1.50. The best is actually, you know, if you are a supporter of High FM, just get the app on your phone. Everything you need is there. You can telegram us from there. You can listen to podcasts from there. The app is your friend. So get the High FM app so that you are connected, as always, to get to know us. But like I said, my guest today is good night sleep consultant Yunal Basson, and we are talking sleep regressions. And we now mentioned the type of sleep regression, what a sleep regression is, and why sleep regressions happen. But we also spoke about that the main cause of it is change. So kind of, it's inevitable. You could kind of say sleep regression can happen at any time, but are there more common times that sleep regressions happen?
Yes, Yolandi, certainly. So The most common ones, if I can just highlight two maybe, is the 4-month sleep regression. We often see that. Yes. And then also the 18-month sleep regression, yes, which is also a big one. Obviously, there are smaller ones in between, like the 9-month sleep regression, sometimes a 12-month, and sometimes at 2 years. But just because your child hits one sleep regression doesn't mean he or she is necessarily going to hit all of them.
Yeah. But I've had clients, though, that have hit every single one. I could almost, like, set a reminder of a wonder week, like, when it happens and then it happens. And for me, on that note, I do feel that certain babies are a little bit, like, premature babies are often more prone to sleep regressions. I feel, I don't know if that's just a general observation. Have you observed that?
To be honest, I haven't, but remember, I also only work with a client for a certain period of time, so I never know what happens in the future,
yeah,
but there may certainly be some truth in that. But just to give you an example, my first son, he almost hit every sleep, well, not every leap, but the 4 months, again, around the 8-month mark, and he hit a lot of them. The 18-month one was a big one. I think that's where we stopped. Yeah. Whereas my youngest son, he hit the 4-month sleep regression and I helped and taught him how to sleep well and never again.
Yeah.
So babies are different.
So, but let's share a little bit about that 4-month sleep regression, because as I mentioned earlier, Emmy full on hit that 4-month sleep regression. So what happens exactly there? Why is it such a common sleep regression? And is it only going to last a certain amount of time? What happens there?
So the 4-month sleep regression is usually, I always say to parents, and not to frighten them, but that is usually a relatively permanent regression unless you find the root of the problem and you address that. So what happens is when your baby is a newborn, the first, let's say, 3 months of their lives, during the newborn phase, you don't have sleep hormones, wake-up hormones. You don't have a body clock or a circadian rhythm. You don't have sleep cycles or anything like that. But then around 3 to 4 months, these physiological changes start happening in the brain. So suddenly the baby starts developing melatonin and cortisol. The baby starts developing a body clock, a circadian rhythm. And most importantly, the baby starts developing sleep cycles. And what happens is your baby now starts falling asleep and then goes through a sleep cycle, which at that age is about 40 to 60 minutes time. And then in between these sleep cycles, the baby starts waking up briefly, which never happened during the newborn phase. That's why often we have, like with Emmy, we have a newborn that is almost sleeping through or already sleeping through. And you think, oh my goodness, I am such a good mommy. I've got this sorted. We made it. And then suddenly the baby starts waking up almost on a rhythm, like hourly or 2-hourly, or like you said, every 45 minutes. That just shows you it's somewhere in between a sleep cycle. So it is normal to wake up in between sleep cycles. So it's something that should start happening where it's a safety mechanism. The baby's supposed to wake up, scan his or her environment, and dive into the next sleep cycle. But the problem comes in if at that stage your baby is still too dependent on someone's help in order to fall asleep. The last association in your baby's mind would be, and I'm just giving a random example, being in mommy's arms, being rocked to sleep, or maybe sucking on a bottle or a brace. And that's the thing your baby starts depending on in order to fall asleep. Now, as he or she goes through the sleep cycles and wakes up in between, the little one will wake up, scan his environment, and then realize, hold on a moment. Last time I remember, I was in someone's arms. Now suddenly I'm in a cot. Or last time I remember, I was sucking on the breast, and now suddenly there's nothing. Or I was being rocked, and now there's nothing. And then the baby doesn't have the skill yet to fall asleep independently at bedtime or for naps. And he or she will also not have that skill in the middle of the night. And the baby will call on mom or dad to bring back a variation of those habits or associations. So mommy needs to come and rock again or feed again or pick him or her up. and held back to sleep. And every time you help your baby back to sleep, you're actually reinforcing this habit of needing that specific thing to go back to sleep. And that's why we start seeing multiple wake ups in the night and almost on a rhythm often.
Yeah. And I mean, it is, I mean, I know even from helping clients that it is, it's horrible for parents, obviously, that you're not sleeping great and all of a sudden. But as a sleep consultant, I do have to say that I'm often like, yeah, it sucks for you, but now we know that we can teach your child the skills necessary to independently link those sleep cycles at night. Because as you mentioned, they are still going to be waking up, but you want them to be able to then link those sleep cycles on their own again. And unless you do something about it, unfortunately, it's not going to necessarily change. Not always. There's also other things that could have an impact, of course. We might get time to talk about those a little bit just now. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond, and I'm your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and today I'm specifically talking to sleep consultant Yunal Basson about sleep regressions. And don't worry if you've missed the beginning. As always, this is luckily available as a podcast afterwards on highfm.com that you can go listen to. We now mentioned, you said that the 4-month sleep regression, unless you do something about it, could be a permanent regression. And I actually did. I felt like I was experiencing it. Luckily, I got in the help of Goodnight and sorted it out. And she is still to this day the most incredible sleeper. Like even in holiday, she, even going to bed at an appropriate time, she can sleep nice and late. It's really very impressive to see 10 years later how well she can sleep. But how long generally, I mean, bad sleep inevitably happens, a night or two of not sleeping well with a child, because again, it's a baby, not a robot. But how long generally does a sleep regression, any of the other sleep regressions, last?
Yolandi, if it is a sleep regression due to, let's say, normal development, let's say the 9-month sleep regression and the baby just learned how to crawl or do something big like that, then usually sleep regressions only last for a couple of days. So you kind of hit a bit of a bump and then after a few days, it should pass. So it's not something I always say to my clients. If in the future you hit a bump in the road, it can be a regression. You won't always know for sure because it's not always physical and you can't always see it. It can be emotional. It can be cognitive or anything else. But if it lasts for more than, I want to say, 5 to 7 days, I almost want to say 5 days, then we start looking at reasons why. What else can it be?
Yeah. But during that time now, so if you now reaches like a sleep regression and all of a sudden your child is not sleeping well, what are you supposed to be doing during that time? Should you change your game plan? Should you have a game plan? I don't know. What should you be doing during that time if this happens, this regression?
Yes, the most important thing to do during a regression is to just stick to the plan that you know is working for your child. So if your child used to sleep well and suddenly something is happening out of the ordinary, don't be too quick to change things because a regression comes on suddenly, but it also goes away suddenly as long as you are consistent. So stick to the times that used to work for your baby, the methods that used to work for your baby, and then within a few days, it should go away. But if you start changing your plan and suddenly just because the baby is having a harder time than usual, you start picking him up again and rocking or bringing in an extra feed in the night or taking him into bed with you and changing the game plan or even the timing in the day completely, then within a day or two or three's time, the regression would have passed as if it never happened. But now you have regressed with this regression. And suddenly you'll be sitting with bad habits again and maybe times that isn't really working for your child. But if you had stuck to what worked before, it would have passed as if it was never there.
And I mean, that's an important thing to remind people of because I can remember, I mean, you know how it is. It's not easy to say stick to your guns when your child is waking up and you should be like consistent. And that is the right advice. I agree with it completely. But I also have to say that I remember when it was such a long time then that Emmy was, for instance, then sleeping well. When she all of a sudden started waking up at night, I honestly, after 4 months of sleeping really well, couldn't really remember what it was like waking up. So I was a little bit confused. We always say that if a child wakes up, because they are going to be, you now mentioned it before, that your baby is going to be waking up at night, a couple of times at night. There's periods of brief wakings that they go through. And often we say to parents, just give them a little bit of time, 5 to 10 minutes to move through that phase before you respond, to give them a chance to move through that time. But you forget that after long periods of sleeping well, to not wait, or you just go in because you think something is wrong. Because your child is obviously sleeping well all of a sudden, and then you're like, okay, let me go in, something must be wrong. But it's a good reminder that you still need to, unless you know something is wrong. If you know your child is sick or something like that, and obviously it's a different story, then you're going to go. But if all was fine at bedtime and all of a sudden your child is making a noise, that noise could be developmental. Them learning a different tone of voice, trying it out in the middle of the night, default mode, screaming mama in the middle of the night. So that's normal for children to do. Give them a moment, see what they're doing before you're rushing in. But also in the same breath, don't be too hard on yourself if you do rush in that one night. One night's not going to break everything. So don't stress too much. But the next night, maybe you can have a little bit more thinking about it if it happens again. is there things that, so we now said that once it happens, you want to remain consistent, and that is definitely the right thing to do. But is there a way that you can avoid a sleep regression?
You know what? In general, sleep regressions can't really be avoided because it goes hand in hand with development, most of them. Yeah. So I don't think you can really avoid them. The 4 month sleep regression, perhaps if you round about just before 4 months, if you try and teach your baby once he or she is ready, of course, in a responsible way, teach them the skills of falling asleep independently. I often find that starting around 16 weeks before the sleep regression hits, but also once the baby is ready and capable of learning the skill of self-soothing, we often miss the 4 month sleep regression. So that one, because there's a definite reason for that one, you can sometimes go through that one and sail through it if you make a plan in advance. But the rest of them, not really. I do, however, always tell parents, if it is due to physical development, something like my baby, that's what happened with my first son. He learned how to go from lying down to pushing up into sitting position around 8 months. Oh, it's so long ago. Oh. I can't even remember, but it was around that time. And then also, like you say, he's been sleeping through the night for months at that point, and suddenly my baby was waking up in the night. And when I got to him, he was sitting up and he didn't know how to go back down. So I always say to parents, if it's something physical, give them plenty of opportunity in the daytime to practice that new skill, whether it's walking, whether it's even tummy time. Give them as much opportunity in the day so they can almost get it out of their system in the daytime, and they don't need to practice it as much in the night. But unfortunately, no matter what you do, sleep regressions, they will come and go.
Yeah, and you might experience it full on, like you now said, lots of wakings at night, but it could also be just like all of a sudden bedtime is struggling a little bit. Like in the case with separation anxiety, you might put your baby down and all of a sudden they cry a bit before you put them to bed. That doesn't mean now something is wrong. Remain consistent. Go out, give them a chance to figure it out, go back in to see. But remember also, all these techniques should never be done in isolation. It should always be done in combination with all the building blocks. And we'll get to, hopefully, to that just now. just now, hopefully. Before I get to that, I wanted to ask another question, because as well, I mentioned earlier, Emmy as well, with her physical development. I just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit. She actually, at around 4 or 5 months, it's probably 5 or 6 months. I'm also, it's a long time ago. We're talking at 10 years ago. She started rolling over as well. And that's a common one as well, where the babies can roll onto their stomach and then they're like a little bit stuck on their stomach. And then parents just have to go in and roll them over again. And then they sleep again. That's also a common one with physical development that happens. Again, tummy time is so important for your newborns and your small babies. Another developmental or physical developmental one that I, with clients, also get is where kids can stand up in their sleep, but they can't figure out how to go sit down in their sleep. And then it's the same as with your son. Then you have to also go in and give them or just help them to go sit down. But again, those skills need to be practiced during the day.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Just like that, another show is strongly coming to an end, but it's been a good one. We've spoken to Yunal Basson, who's a good night's sleep consultant, about sleep regressions today. Don't worry too much if you've missed it. As always, of course, this show and all of my shows are available on HiFM.com as a podcast. Not only my show, all the shows on HiFM are available. Like I mentioned earlier, just get the app. Everything's on there. You can go listen to it whenever you feel like it. Maybe when you wake up in the middle of the night because of your sleepless baby, you could go listen how to fix it on the podcast. And then you don't hear anything else. You just hear my soothing voice in the middle of the night. Wonderful. It sounds great to me. My voice is not conducive for sleeping, that I have to say. As I mentioned, I'm speaking to good night sleep consultant Yunal Basson about sleep regressions. He's spoken a lot about it. You know, I said earlier to you that I had a friend who told me that her child is sleeping through. She's only waking up twice a night to feed. What's sleeping through to you?
Yolandi, I think you've already said it, but I agree with you. For me, sleeping through means putting your baby down at bedtime and them only calling on you, needing you the next morning again. So just to be clear, sleeping through the night does not mean you won't hear a peep from your baby. So waking up in between sleep cycles, that is perfectly normal. Some babies wake up, they moan a little. Some of them even play for a couple of minutes in the middle of the night, but they put themselves back to sleep. And even if they do that multiple times a night, but they don't need you, they are still sleeping independently for the entire night. So in my opinion, that is what sleeping through the night is.
And when do you say babies sleep through the night or can sleep through the night?
That is very different for every baby. So I've seen, like you said, with Emmy, I've seen newborns sleep through the night. Not that we expect that of them, but I mean, some parents are lucky and they do. But then I've seen it even or only happening a little later as well. But usually around 9 months, if everything is in place, medically speaking, and your baby is getting all the nutrition he or she needs in the daytime, then usually around 9 months, a baby should be able to sleep through the night if all the building blocks of healthy sleep are in place.
Yeah. So share with us a little bit that what are these building blocks? What are the other things that people should have in place? Or yeah, let's start with that. What is the building blocks of sleep?
So I always say to parents, sleep is like building a house. You can't put the roof on top of the house, the roof for me, which is good, healthy sleep, if all the building blocks aren't in place. So we always check that nutrition is in place. We look at the milk. We look at the solids as well, the timing of it. We want to tick that box and making sure that the baby's getting everything he or she needs in the daytime. We also look at the day routine, something that is age appropriate for the baby, making sure that the baby is getting adequate naps in the day to avoid overtiredness. Then we also look at the sleep environment, making sure there's nothing in the environment waking the baby unnecessarily. We look at the bedtime routine, what's happening in the last half an hour leading up to sleep time. What have I missed now, Yolandi?
Bedtime routine.
The bedtime routine. And then, of course, we also look at the associations, what this baby still depends on in order to fall asleep.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, the sleep associations part is like the cherry on the cake. That's often referred to as sleep training as well. Please do note, when we talk about sleep training, we mean those methods we use to get your baby to fall asleep independently and link sleep cycles. A last thing that I just wanted to talk about that's also, I think luckily this time of year, it's less common because it's nice and dark in the mornings now. It's not, I mean, in Cape Town, it must even be worse now waking up. But by us, at 5:45, it's already dark and I'm hating it. But early morning wake-ups is quite a common thing as well. And it's also often associated with sleep regressions as well. What are some of the reasons why early morning wake-ups happen?
So when a baby or a toddler has an early morning wake-up, that means waking up earlier than your start of the day is supposed to be. Mm. So let's say baby wakes up between 6 and 7 in the morning and bedtime is between 6 and 7 in the evening. Then for me, that an early morning wake-up means waking up earlier than 6 in the morning. So when I hear early morning wake-ups, I always also check my boxes. So the first one is just to check the environmental blocks. That one is obviously the easiest one. So make sure the room is as dark as possible because light influences our melatonin production, our sleep hormone production. Yeah. So we want to check that it's dark enough. There's nothing in the environment sound-wise that is waking the baby, especially in summer months. Sometimes it's birds and traffic and lots of noise outside. So just make sure it's not that. So we want to check the environmental block, making sure it's nothing environmental. But often I also see that it is due to the schedule in the day and the day routine causing early morning wake-ups. So overtiredness, when a child is stretched too long in between sleeps, meaning they kept awake for too long before they need to sleep again, or the stretch until bedtime is too long, it can often cause early morning wake-ups because when they're overtired, cortisol starts being produced, more cortisol than is needed, starts being produced into the body, and that cortisol is almost like adrenaline, and it often wakes the baby up in the early morning hours when they are in light sleep. So I always, especially those two boxes, I always tick those boxes first when I hear early morning wake-ups.
So before you go, because we're strongly now losing time and running out of time, unfortunately. Again, I can talk about sleep for quite some time without anyone falling asleep, I feel. What is your, maybe I'm putting you on the spot here now, but what's your like top one tip that every parent should have to improve their sleep?
Yolandi, I have to be honest with you. I awake times. Right. If I think about sleep, the first thing I often ask is, how long are you keeping your, depending on the age, of course. But if it's a baby who is still on 2 naps a day or more than that, I always look at the awake times because I feel like an overtired child, overtiredness is your worst enemy when it comes to
And it
sleep.
Becomes like a little bit of a cycle of like, that you're stuck in, like this domino effect.
For sure. So I always say, one of the biggest things you can do for your baby is find out what is age appropriate in terms of the day routine and try and stick to that as far as you can to avoid overtiredness, because an overtired baby will either fight going down for bedtime or naps, or they'll wake up unnecessarily in the night multiple times. They can have long wake-ups in the night or even those early morning wake-ups.
Great. You know, where can people reach you?
Yolandi, you can reach us on our website, Goodnight's website, www.goodnightbaby.co.za. We also have a Facebook account as well as Instagram. You are welcome to have a look on the website as well to get into touch with any consultant there. We also have WhatsApp option if you click on it on the website, that you can send a WhatsApp and one of the consultants will get back to you.
Great. Thank you so much, Janelle. It was absolutely wonderful having you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Landy.
Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show has come to an end. And it was a wonderful show talking about sleep regressions. As you all know, I love talking about sleep and sharing my insights on sleep. And as you now mentioned, you can go look at the website goodnightbaby.co.za for some free information on sleep. On that note as well, on Goodnight Baby RSA is the Facebook page. Goodnight Baby SA is the Instagram page, where you can have a look at some videos, tips, Q&As, all sorts of things happening, where you can get some information and some helpful tips on all the various building blocks of sleep to help your baby sleep better. On that note, as well as always, I would love to hear if there's something specific you would like me to talk about on the show about parenting. I never pretend like I know everything. I always get in the experts, and I do know a lot of experts. And luckily, between me and Hi FM, we can get the big guns in to come and help you give some insights. So please, you know, go follow me on Instagram, Yolandi Becker. It's Yolandi with a J, one word, Yolandi Becker. Or you can send me an email on yolandi@goodnightbaby.co.za and let me know if there's something specific you want me to cover in the show. I would love to talk about it. You now mentioned her top tip for sleeping is looking at awake times during the day. Those you can also find on Instagram, the age-appropriate awake time of your child. But my top tip is a good bedtime routine. A bedtime routine that is not too long or too late can make a huge difference in setting up your baby for a good night's sleep. So a bedtime routine should hover somewhere between 6 and 7, so not too late in the evening. And about 30 minutes long is how long you want your bedtime routine to be. Miraculously, melatonin starts producing about 30 minutes after a bath time. So it's like the simulation of day and night, that temperature change. The warmth of the day, which is the water, and getting out of the water is the coolness of night. And that temperature change triggers melatonin production. And within 30 minutes, the melatonin levels, the hormone that helps us to sleep, is at their peak. And this is actually to help your baby to fall asleep. So use those natural things to help your baby to drift off to sleep more peacefully at night. A good bedtime routine involves a bath, dressing your baby, maybe putting some cream on them before you dress them, maybe having a little bit of a cuddle. Include bonding time, especially if you're working during the day. Make sure you have one-on-one interrupted bonding time as part of your bedtime routine. And then you want to put them in a sleeping bag and in their bed for sleep. And that's my top tip when it comes to sleep. It's been, as always, wonderful chatting with you today. And I look forward to our show next week when we are talking about toddlers and what they're all about and the troubles of toddlerhood and discipline. So join me next week as we talk about that. One of the greatest gifts you can give your child is the example of kindness. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.